And welcome to Stop the Presses here on the last day. There it is, the last day of January 2020. And today, I have more guests than I can count. We're going to be hearing from a couple from Washington State that are in dire straits with the foreclosure system, the financial racket, you can call it many things, kind of a Sheriff of Nottingham thing of Robin Hood lore in its own weird way. And Mickey Paletta, a return guest, is going to be with us momentarily as well. He has Steve with him, and we're also going to hear from Keith and kind of have a group talk here about the ongoing financial chicanery and fraud, and in a way, in a distant way, financial terrorism against the actual population disguised as law enforcement. The government is not always on the side of the law, as many of us have learned. Just because they have the badges and the guns doesn't mean they're telling the truth, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're following their own state or federal constitutions, oftentimes far from it. And to talk about a specific case in Washington State today, I want to welcome Alex and Maria. How you doing out there?
We're good. Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. We're going to have to cut right to the chase to get enough talk time in here. 1 hour on radio goes by pretty quick, and I'll admonish everyone to keep their comments and questions relatively short. Let our main guests, Alex and Maria, have the floor because they're the ones with the plight, and so we can all get our two cents in and have a constructive conversation and try and find solutions. So, Mickey, you with me too?
Yes, sir, I am, Mark. Hi, thanks.
And Steve is with you?
Steve's here too, yes.
I don't know that we have Keith yet. I'll soon find out from the board ops. But at any rate,
I'm waiting on Keith to call in. I'm waiting for him too. I called him and he assured me that he was going to be on, but I haven't heard from him yet.
Okay, well, he'll be the add-on. At any rate, let's have Alex and Maria explain their case, which has to do with King County Superior Court in Washington State. And I'll just preface this, you two, by saying that I read the complaint from the prosecutor, and it is all over the place. It's almost indecipherable. The only specificity it has are banks such as J.P. Morgan Chase that allegedly were wrong. But other than that, it doesn't even say how you allegedly committed this felony fraud that they're accusing you of. And I'll mention to the audience listening live and on the archive that this has similarities, but it also has a lot of differences with the usual foreclosure racket cases that Mickey and I cover. It has some general similarities, but this is a rather unique case. In fact, it definitely is a unique case. And again, the complaint itself that charges you two with these counts, this alleged fraud, it never even specifies how you allegedly committed this so-called fraud. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook and circuitous language and legalese. I don't know that I would bore anyone or torture anyone by reading passages of it. I might do that in a couple minutes, but go ahead and explain, Alex and Maria, just the basics of what this is about and how this came about.
Okay, well, thanks. I'm none of us is either an attorney or know much about the legal system, so take what I say with a grain of rice, and, if I'm off base, let me know, please. Basically, we own the house, and because I was laid off from my work before I retired and lost the clients that year, we could not afford to pay for it. And then we came across this process that we could pay off our loan based on a promissory note. And that's what we did. We sent a promissory note to the bank, and as soon as we sent it, the bank totally ignored our request for verification of the receipt of the promissory note, any affidavits or any letter we send them. They basically ignored it and mailed us a copy of our loan application. And then they started the foreclosure process right away. And then we, you know, our house was foreclosed. We lost everything we had in the house, from our clothes to our tools, garage, whatever we owned was gone. So we were basically kicked out of our house with the sheriff showing up there with guns and everything. And we didn't hear from it since then, until last week, which we received the notice of this arraignment hearing, which was also actually served improperly to the wrong address, and we just happened to be able to see those letters. In case of Maria, she wasn't even served with paper. She got a voicemail on her phone that you need to be in this arraignment court, you know, yesterday morning. And up to yesterday morning, we had no idea what these charges are for. I'm glad at least you read it, and you also understand that you don't know what they're talking about. So they named both of us co-defendant on these cases. So we have a you know, possibility that we may go to jail or get fined. You know, even yesterday, with the recommendations that Mickey had given us to what to say in the court and ask for more time, everything was totally ignored. This judge basically said, "Oh, I'm going to file not guilty motion for you," and set the next hearing for February 12th. And it's like, okay, well, that's a lot of time for us to dig into, see what is going on with this case. So basically, that's just a short summary of what happened. If you have more questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I'll mention that from the time you lost your house to the time that this prosecution just turned up out of the blue, like you say, a piece of mail mailed to the wrong place that you just by dumb luck happened to find. You might not have ever seen it, so you weren't properly served through a process server in the traditional way. And your wife, whose name, I think you were telling me, her name shouldn't even be on any of this. She's not even really legally involved. You can elaborate on that a little bit, but she just happens to get a last-minute phone call. So if some 5 years go by, you've already lost your home, you already suffered the penalty, you've already paid the piper in that sense. So
right.
the fact that this is even happening is strange. And then in the way that it's happening is so short notice and unprofessional and unprecedented, unorthodox, and egregious, from what I've seen at this up to this point, at least. And so, you know, elaborate on that. Your wife, or common law wife, is not even really germane in this case, correct?
It is not, at least for count four. Which is also mortgage. They consider it as a mortgage fraud because the house that I had was under my my name and my ex-wife's name, and Maria's name was nowhere on any documents, not on any paperwork, loan paperwork, no nothing. The only reason that they related these two cases together was that at the suggestion of someone, we filed a UCC-1 for all of our assets and a UCC-3 is specifically for real estate after the foreclosure process has started. So at least we could have some kind of claim on the house. But we also found out that UCC-3 is not acceptable form for real estate. It is okay for other products and equipment, but not for real estate.
So UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, you mean?
Uniform Commercial Code, correct.
Yeah, just a point of clarity. Mickey, what you've heard up to this point in this conversation, your thoughts?
What I would like to add is this now. She's on this complaint now. She has a separate complaint, okay? And they're charging her also with fraud based upon probably a bench warrant that was issued against her. We don't really know when, but it was several years ago. And supposedly, from what I understand, is that she paid her ticket for stop sign violation, a red light violation, or something along those lines, that also with a created a promissory note. What it comes down to, that they're booking them for fraud, and all I got to say is that I know a lot of my friends all over the United States that have used these notes, and not one of them has ever been convicted.
While you're on that, Mickey, very briefly, as concisely as you can, for the listening audience, because even as well-informed as RBN listeners are, this might be a somewhat rare item to hear about. So describe or reiterate what these bonds, a.k.a. promissory notes, are and how they've been at least successfully used in some cases anyway. What are they? Just as concisely as you can.
Well, what it is this. First of all, people, there are many, many different forms. There's many, many different bonded promissory notes. But there's just not one specific kind. But anyway, that you go out, that you hire this person who's also in the fight, and what he does, that he creates a bond. He has the proper forms, but he's not licensed. Most of these guys are not licensed to create promissory notes. So I have a problem with that right then and there. But, putting that aside, that what they do is they create a bond, they put a dollar amount on there, right? I've seen them as much as $10 million. And what happens that they're giving out to the homeowner, let's just say, I know that one case where the guy used a $10 million bond that sent it in to the bank, and that was 8, 9, 10 years ago, and they've never heard another word. But in their case,
and the bond was used to retire an alleged debt.
Yes, right.
Okay, keep going.
Now, general rule, Mark, I know a lot of people that have used these notes or bonded promissory notes, whatever you want to refer to them as, but I have never heard of a bank sending them back. So what that means to me is those notes are actually negotiated and put into the bank's account at full face value, thus increasing the assets of the bank. They're not out a dime. It's a matter of fact that the bank is making money on these bonded promissory notes. Then what they do, then sometimes they go out and they say that you filed a note and it's not acceptable and you can't pay a debt back with the bond. But in Alex's case that I've discussed this with him, they have never received any of the bonds back. Is that true, Alex?
That is true. We never received anything back.
So here's the million-dollar question, pardon the pun. If you're the bank and you take the bond or promissory note from the person, Alex or anyone else that does this, and your assets increase and you use it, and yet you turn around and accuse the bond issuer of fraud, but you use the bond and increased your assets at the same time, that's duplicity and double dealing itself, is it not?
You own your own assets out of the treasury.
I'm sorry?
No, that's okay, Mark. Go.
Anyone that wants to respond to that, Mickey, you first, and then Alex.
Well, what we have to understand, that I have advised people for years. I've never done a promissory note. And the reason why is rather simple that I'm not licensed to be in the security business, so I have always avoided it. But I know personal friends of mine that I know very, very well and highly that I respect them. They have used bonded promissory notes, and they have actually won their homes back, or they've never been contacted back. But the bottom line is that they're notes that are refused, and there's, you know, like in that Carl's case that you and I worked on a couple months ago, that he went into court now, you know, with a bonded promissory note that was stamped by the Federal Reserve Bank. Okay,
and I believe the U.S. State Department signed off on it too.
Yeah, that's right. And what happened then? They went in and they threw him out of the house, and they never returned the bonds like we asked them. That if the bonds weren't used, then send the bonds back to us. But they never send them back because they are negotiated, and they are used to create the income for that bank.
See, so that's the rub. The rub is there. If the bank doesn't return the notes, whatever bank is involved, whatever people are involved, and they make money, and yet they still turn around and go after the people that issued the note, then that's duplicity and fraud, and yet they're accusing others of fraud in a very hypocritical way. And I'm not going to say that I advocate the use of these notes. I'm not going to say that I don't advocate the use of these notes. I do agree that it's better to be licensed than not, all things considered. So I'm not an advocate of the notes, and I'm not a detractor. I'm just exploring the facts here for the record. But I think the one thing that we can take away, and we're coming up on the first break in about 2 minutes, the one thing we can take away is if the receiving bank of the notes, if they take it and keep it and don't return it, and their assets go up, and yet they still work with the attorneys and go after people, then that is a very duplicitous action. Alex, your thoughts?
I agree with you, and also since we did not know about anything about the promissory note and how even to create it, someone created that for us. As Mickey mentioned, there are people who do that, and I agree that if they do not want to accept it, they should return it. And but the fact that they did not return it, and also they never mentioned it, and every time we request a payment confirmation, they just send me a copy of my loan application. And the funny thing is, in one of these loan applications, on the back side of it, there was a bank stamp that says paid.
And that now, that's very curious.
Yes, and also I complained to FDIC afterwards regarding the conduct of the bank. And since they do not litigate and they do not share the discovery, their recommendation to me was that I should take legal action against the bank. But at the time, I could not afford an attorney, so I let it go.
And here comes the first break. We'll be back with more from Alex Maria, Mickey, and company right after these ads. Stay tuned.
Simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And return to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, 31 January 2020. We're talking with Alex and Maria of Washington State about an unusual financial case, a financial bind that they're in. And also with me is return guest Mickey Paletta of Mortgage Defense Systems in Pennsylvania. He's been on here several times talking about the mortgage foreclosure racket, which is part of the commercial banking system, which in turn is part of the central banking system, and the overall monopoly of credit and the bankster control over the world and separate nations. It all comes down to the grassroots at things we're through things that we're talking about today, excuse me. And we've often talked about banks and especially debt collection law firms and the courts bringing fraud forward, actually engaging in fraud and allowing fraud with fraudulent signatures and forged and fraudulent mortgage documents in foreclosure cases, taking people's houses right from under them, whether the people are current on their payments or not, seems immaterial. And one of the things Mickey and I have learned over the years is that depending on the value of your property and a number of things, the banks and the debt collection law firms, well, starting with the banks, they really want your monthly payments, even though they carry interest payments and that helps them. It's a cash flow for them. But oftentimes they want the property. So even if you're paying and you're more or less current or totally current, whatever the case might be, whether you've engaged in a loan modification or not, basically if they want your land, they're going to take it by hook or crook. And forged signatures, forged and fraudulent documents are certainly not beyond the pale. And digital image extraction has been discussed, where signatures are electronically scanned and pasted on places where the signatory, the person signing, never even knew about, had no knowledge of their signature being used on that document. And that's just a quick synopsis of some of the other things Mickey and I have covered via newspaper articles, via radio shows and whatnot, in a book that I'll announce a little bit later. But Mickey, based on we're in the short segment now before the break at the bottom of the hour. Once we get past the ads at the bottom of the hour for all those that are on the show here, then we have the final half hour pretty much free and clear. So, Mickey, based on what Alex just said before the break, any thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, Mark.
I know that's kind of an open-ended question. Would Steve like to add anything?
Yeah. I got two ears for listening and one for talking, so I think I'll just listen for the moment, but I have some thoughts.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. Well,
guys, I have some thoughts now, but I would like to emphasize, just like I've always emphasized for years on these shows, that they're going to say that Alex is the one that's actually committed the fraud. They are bringing this man to court with a fraud, and believe me, their intentions are that they want to monetize his conviction so they can further increase the bank's or the court's bank's assets. But the bottom line here, that the party that is really creating the fraud is not Alex and his wife. It's really the bank. All you got to do is look at the promissory note in paragraph one. I promise to repay for a loan that I have received. That's fraud right off the bat. The bank never lends any money. And they're going after these fine people for creating a note and trying to defraud the system when it's really the system that's going after them. The whole system is reversed and what that we've been going after. I want to form groups, and it's already starting to work. I got a group started in Nevada, Montana, and I just got off the phone. There's a guy on this call now from Los Angeles with his own group. And what I want to start doing is educating these guys and start going after these guys because it's a conspiracy. These banks are involved. They're complicit. The lawyers are involved. The DAs are involved. The judges and the sheriffs.
The courthouse is a corporation.
Yeah, the courthouse is a bank. It's a miniature bank. They monetize all these notes. So what we want to do is start a huge group and start going after these guys for the fraud that they are accusing us of. And in reality, it's really them that are creating the fraud.
Yeah, based on all the hundreds of cases that you've dealt with, whether you've won them or lost them or win, lose, or draw, Mickey, there's, every evidence, every reason to believe that the evidence points toward those entities very, very frequently, and as a matter of a systematic, process, carrying out fraud, that's their, raison d'etre, that's their modus operandi in a vast majority of the cases. And you've cited many cases where even to bring fraud upon the court, there's been legal precedent that courts should not deal in fraud, that itself is a very, very egregious thing. We won't get into all those legalities, but we've already reached the bottom of the hour. This segment is dreadfully short. So, Alex and Maria, hang on. We'll get a lot more from you in there. We'll be right back after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And welcome back to the second half of Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson, on the 31st of January, 2020. And I'm continuing the conversation with Alex and Maria from Washington State and their very difficult situation that they're going through. And Mickey Paletta is here to offer perspective. He's a return guest. I don't know that we have Keith with us yet. I don't think so. Mickey's with Steve as well. And kind of a group chat here. And trying to make sense of this and unravel this, disentangle it, and find out where the truth is and how to disentangle this couple from out west from this debacle. And Alex and Maria, go ahead and add anything that we might not have heard yet. You've pretty much outlined this, but I imagine there's some other dimensions of this. I've tried my best to educate myself in the short amount of time that I've known about this. But I'm sure there's some other salient points that you might want to add or other perspective or facts.
Well,
Alex, hold on, this is Mickey. Why don't you discuss that the violations that the courts did, that lack of service, you know, discuss all that.
Yeah, I alluded to that. Go ahead and expound on that.
Okay, well, we basically, you know, when you're charged with a criminal charge, at least you should be served properly. The way I got served was they send a regular mail to the address on my driver's license, which is this house. And what I need to tell you also that since we got out of our house, we had a friend who spent 6-8 months a year out of the country, and we are renting the basement apartment of this house. But I have never received any mail in this house. The only reason this address is on my driver's license is that in Washington, you cannot have a P.O. box on your driver's license. And I've had my P.O. box for about 8 years now, way before, even in the old house, I used that P.O. box. I never used my street address. And anyhow, by sheer accident that I went to leave a couple of outgoing mails in the mailbox, I happened to see the initial letter from the prosecutor's office and the court date, and I was really surprised at who left these. And they were mailed, like, on the 21st. So we got here, like, you know, only had, like, 2-3 days to get prepared to see what it is. And in Maria's case, she never even got served with the paperwork. She just happened to receive an email. A voicemail from a court clerk.
Oh, Maria, now wait a minute. Stop there, Alex. Alex, are you telling me that they physically called up Maria by phone, and did they tell her that she had a court case on such and such date, and she was never served?
Correct.
They left a message. Almost like throwing a bottle in the water and floating it down the river and saying, she'll probably see the message in the bottle. I mean, it's almost that bad, or carrier pigeon, for crying out loud. It's not quite that bad, but, you know, in each case then, Alex, it was just left up to chance that either of you would know about this and know about it in time, let alone preparing for it.
Yeah, because since I do not get any mail in this address, I never check the mailbox, and the owner's daughter comes by here once or twice a week and picks up their mail. And this was, like, really, really, it was a freaky thing that it happened, that I just went to leave a outgoing mail in the mailbox and happened to see those. And in Maria's case, it's even worse. And if we had missed the letter or the voicemail, then we would be arrested today because we didn't show up.
Yeah, you would have been contempt of court on top of all these other vague and nebulous charges that are on the complaint from the prosecutor. And, you know, I can remember, this is just anecdotal, but years and years ago, I was involved in a simple small claims court case regarding band equipment from a musical band I was in. Small potatoes, if there ever was small potatoes, and they sent process servers physically to give me these papers that I was being taken to court by another guy, and they treated it important. This is in Michigan. These process servers are sometimes hired from the private sector. They're almost like bounty hunters of a more gentle nature. And they paid that much attention to a simple small claims court, and yet this is a criminal thing and involving alleged felonies, and look at how casual they are.
Yeah, and also all the court proceeding that basically railroaded us, and we got a judge that has no criminal background trial. She used to work for a cell phone company, and I was called to the bench, and I mentioned that, hey, I filed a motion for continuance, so for 30-45 days to see what these charges are about. She says, oh, no, you can't do that. I said, why not? That is my right. She said, no, you don't know your rights. You either have to play guilty or not guilty. So I'm going to file a not guilty plea for you. I don't have time for this. And they were so brazen and so, I don't know how to describe it. The only thing I can describe it is a kangaroo court.
And this was yesterday.
Yes, and Maria, okay.
And also with me, and when I was called to the bench, they wanted me to say not guilty. I said, why would I say not guilty? I don't even know what you're charging me. I got a phone call, and now you wanted me to plead not guilty. I'm not willing to do this. You don't, I did not contract with you, and you did not give me any specifics and no documentation and no process serving. I said, that is my right. You are not under my jurisdiction. That's why I said, oh, let's just do this. It's just an administrative process. I said, I don't belong to your process. I want, you know, I'm a free woman, and I would like to have my rights. What I told them. So if they ever did took our picture and fingerprints, that's we were coerced to do that.
Yeah, we were coerced to do administrative booking. We had to wait 3 hours in handcuffs and wait to be fingerprinted.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. Hold on, Alex. Were you handcuffed?
3 hours. We were handcuffed from the court. All the way to the jail area, which is quite a long walk, like two blocks away in the tunnel. And they just told us, oh, we just go there, take a quick picture and a fingerprint, and you can go. But once we got there, they actually took all of our stuff. They emptied our pockets and everything. We walked in handcuffs to the jail area. We were put in cell. You can't talk. You can't do anything. And I hadn't eaten in 3 days, and I have diabetes. I almost was passing out. And Maria was in the cell next to me, but I couldn't see her. And one time she tapped on the door and asked one of the guards that how long it's going to take. And the guard got really huffy. He said, well, we're so busy. We don't have time. We get to you whenever we can. So anyways, they were not nice. And also, we had to wait like 2.5 more hours in there just for some person to come in and take our fingerprint and our picture. So basically, we're already booked into the jail. All they have to do is arrest us, take us there again. So all their booking is done.
It's almost as if that you were being treated as if you had already been sentenced and convicted, and that anything they're doing in court is just a formality. I mean, that's what it smells like.
It looks like it.
Okay, wait a minute. Steve got something to add. Steve, go.
Go ahead.
To me, the violation of the Fourth Amendment, false arrest, false imprisonment, and the Sixth Amendment, the right to counsel of their choice, because part of the continuous they asked for is they did not understand the charges that were being brought against them, and they wanted the continuance to consult with competent counsel, I didn't say attorney, counsel, and or retain them. And they were denied that. But certainly it sounds like false imprisonment for charges that you read. I didn't see the complaint, but I understand it sounds like gobbledygook. How could you even begin to understand, much less defend against it? They already have a trial date for the 12th of February, and there's no understanding what the charges are against them, so how are they supposed to defend?
Yeah, it does break those constitutional principles. As far as we can tell, I mean, I can't see how it doesn't. This can all be fleshed out. But, yeah, I mean, I can't resist reading a little bit of the complaint from the prosecutor that the defendants and each of them in King County, Washington, between March 1, 2015 and September 27, 2015, with intent to deprive another of property, to wit, U.S. currency, did wrongfully obtain such property belonging to a Clara Gindhardt and did obtain control over such property by color and aid of deception. And the thefts were a series of transactions which were part of a criminal episode, continuing criminal impulse, get that, and a common scheme or plan in which the sum value of the property or services did exceed a specified amount.
It's a continuing enterprise?
Yeah.
It's making it sound like a fraud for a one-time alleged fraud, and I'm wondering if they're doing that to stay within the statute of limitations or a fraud, seeing how it's 5 years past the fact. But if it's a continuing violation,
go on, Steve.
I'm interested in the wording, even though it sounds like gobbledygook, what they're putting in there. trying to make this nonsense stick.
Mickey has a copy of it, too, so you can get it more precisely.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I just wanted to give a flavor of the circuitous and dodgy language in this thing. It never mentions bonds or promissory notes even once in this 2 or 3 page complaint. It's not particularly long, but there's no mention of the specifics that are the basis of the allegations against Alex and Maria. It just kind of dances around everything.
Yeah, Mark, this is Mickey. And the reason why I think that's omitted, that if they bring that up, they're going to have to produce those.
Yes.
And when they produce those, and if you look at the back of the bond, all it's going to show is for deposit only.
Yep.
Okay? That's the reason why that they're hitting these guys with all this BS fraud stuff. And that reality that they can't expose that they negotiated of the notes
that the money
that they signed. So that's the reason why it's so void.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's plausible as to why they have to avoid that, because then it might lead to questions like, was the bond deposited? Did the receiving entity have their assets go up? And that would expose the duplicity.
If there was a crime, Mark, if there was a crime committed, then what was the crime? Prove that there was a crime.
And let the injured party come forward.
Yeah, let them come. No, but they're never going to do that. So they're going to railroad these folks just to enrich their own coffers. That while they don't care about, you know, the people, that if they get a chance, they're going to send these two people to jail.
Well, you'll notice now, the judge and the policeman in the jail and you know, the guard or whatever, everyone was like, we don't have time. We don't have time for that. They don't have time for the Constitution, evidently.
Well, Mark, it's all about money, you know, and people out there, you know, all over this United States, listen to us, that we need your help, and we need you to join and start passing the word around that we have to build a huge organization where we're going to start going after these guys for the conspiracy.
In masses. That's the only way it's going to work.
And guys, yeah, you can
that's
go
what it's
in
really
one
about.
Case at a time.
Go on.
Yeah, but you can go into the courts now, one case at a time, and believe me, and you're going to lose. Then the people say that the judge was corrupt. Right? You're absolutely correct. Right? This system is corrupt, but the only way that we're going to handle it is through the masses. Right, and I don't know why that hundreds and hundreds of a day that people are not joining this, because that's what it takes. It's like this. I filed 16 or 17 FDCPA suits about 6 years ago. Right, it was against one law firm all within a month. Did you know that law firm of today is out, and a law firm is no longer in a collection of debt business? Why? Because we forced them to expose their bond and their insurance was removed. They could no longer operate as lawyers.
The same is going to be true with a judge who's bonded.
That's right. We got to start going after the judges, the sheriffs, the lawyers, and all you guys that are sitting back saying, well, it's not me. That's not the answer, because one of these days it's going to be you. And who's going to be around to help you? That's the issue, guys. Let's wake up and, you know, get on a stick.
Yeah, and Alex and Maria are an unusual and yet another of many, many cases. Theirs being unusual for ways we've already described, and yet they join a long lineup of people that have been targeted under this fraudster accusing others of fraud, hypocritical racket. You know, the process of projection where you accuse others of the very thing you're guilty of. That appears to be the case here, by all indications. I have more to learn. We all have more to learn. But, yes, the constitutional breaches here, the short amount of time, the almost total, really a total lack of proper process serving. And Mickey and Alex and Maria, everybody chime in on this.
The complaint itself, it's how could you begin to understand? Most people don't even understand the charges when they're clear cut to them. Here you got something. How can you possibly defend about what they're being charged with in that short shrift of time? You know,
yeah, a completely
those that are charged with upholding a law are amongst the worst of all scuff laws. You know, they violate these judges. They're bought and paid for. There's very few that you're going to find. Even attorneys, that's a sold-out game. That's a dog and pony show. It's going to be few and far between that you find that are actually honest or naive at this point because they don't know really what's going on. And if they step up, they're going to be shut down too. I know quite a few attorneys that were good that are out of business because they stood up. People have to stand up now.
It's very wide-ranging and very all-encompassing and egregious, that's for sure. But what I was saying was, and let's nail this down too, isn't it true, Alex and Maria and Mickey, that they had a five-year limit, a five-year deadline? They did this right before the 5 years was up since the house was lost, and that due to the process serving being done in such an unorthodox and sloppy and casual manner, that it could be argued that they did not make the deadline?
Right. Right. I agree.
Well, is it 5 years from the time they tendered the note?
I'll let Alex answer that. Do you know that by offhand, Alex, the five-year exact time span?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but I was reading so many things last few days that I believe in one case it's mentioned that the statute of limitation is 5 years, and they filed this right before the five-year deadline, and also a couple of other things that I was surprised with was the letter from the prosecuting attorney's office. On the bottom of it, they already had a jail location printed, the code of this jail, which I mentioned that to Mickey, and he was, you know, he's like, well, they're trying to intimidate me. And yesterday in court, there were people that were rapists, murderers, grand theft and all that, and they were given like 30 to 60 days of continuance.
And oh my goodness. This
we don't even know. They gave us, 11 working days?
Because they have to shuffle this through before you understand what really happened. That's why their complaint's gobbledygook. How are you supposed to understand it? How are you supposed to get anybody's representation?
Go ahead, Maria.
Okay. First of all, it's the county or the state of Washington that is suing us. What are the probable cause? They don't have any probable cause. And plus, they are corporation. They are fiction. A fiction and a entity and a corporation cannot sue a human being. We are a human being, the flesh and blood. We're human. We're a woman. They cannot sue us. And plus,
it is a little odd. Without analyzing it to death, why aren't the banks, if they're the so-called injured parties, why isn't J.P. Morgan Chase the plaintiff? Why is the state of Washington the plaintiff? It's as if the banks and the state are just one and the same.
Correct.
It's just very odd. And interesting observation there, Maria. I wouldn't have thought of that one. We've only got about 4 minutes left at best here. Okay. 1 hour radio goes by really quick. Let's make some summarizing comments. So, Alex and Maria, you've got until the 12th. You don't see any chance of a continuation. And Mickey, you can chime in on this. What might be the best course of action given the circumstances?
Oh, yeah, guys, what I would like to say once again, okay, I sound like a broken record. You know, I've been doing these calls now, I bet you, for 15 years off and on. And you know, I just don't know what it's going to take. So I'm asking all of you people out there that really care about your rights and this country, we're going to have to wake up and pick up the torch, and we're going to have to educate ourselves and form groups in every city in this country of ours and start teaching the folks what's really going on. And let's go after these guys for the conspiracy and the fraud that they've been perpetrating against us. And these two fine people here, Alex, he moved here now from the Middle East. And I'm sure that he came here. He was proud to be an American and all that. But what they're doing to him, that I'm embarrassed to say that you're living now in the United States, because it's unfathomable what they're doing to these folks.
It really is. And I want to mention that we better give a couple emails. Anyone listening live and on the archive that wants to get involved can contact Mickey and I through the station. My email is truthhound2@yahoo.com. That's posted on the website under my name and on the posting, the archive posting for today's show, 31 January 2020. New editions of Mickey's book that I helped edit, Universal Bankruptcy and Economic Bondage, hardcover editions of that book are going to be printed very soon over the weekend into next week. They'll be available for $19.95. The paperback sold out for $12. These will be just a little more, $19.95. Hardback books, Universal Bankruptcy and Economic Bondage. My email, truthhound2@yahoo.com, or contact us through the station, and we'll get you your books as soon as they're ready. A very informative book that shows the mechanics of the banks, not just that the bankers met on Jekyll Island secretly in 1910 and the usual Federal Reserve narrative, all very interesting and important, of course, but this gets into the mechanics of understanding exactly how the banks don't loan you any money. They, like bankers themselves have told Mickey, the banks, when they make a loan, they don't part with anything. And in fact, their assets go up. It's very counterintuitive. Up is down and down is up. East is west and west is east. But that's kind of the fundamental basis of the larger fraud that stems out of that. And that includes victimizing people like Maria and Alex. And I'm hearing the music distantly. I want to thank everybody. Thanks a lot, Alex and Maria, for being on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Godspeed. I know it's a tough one, uphill battle, but we'll put our heads together, get the facts. And hopefully, thanks, Mickey, and thanks everyone else. See you next time.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.